And to people who think they deserve, they don't get anything. Remember, the sick need a physician, not the whole. Those who think they need Christ, find him. And those who need him not are left out. Verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit on him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. So again, Jesus, this is why they were amazed. They were amazed hearing him say all these things. And they were afraid and not, remember, they still are sort of like, they up to this point have not understood what it means. And maybe it's just beginning to dawn on them, but it never sinks in entirely. They're like, what means this thing? What does this parable mean? They're going to condemn me to death. They're going to deliver me to the Gentiles. They're going to scourge and spit and mock and kill. And the third day I will rise again. What's this mean? Because they think, well, it probably doesn't mean what he's literally saying. It's probably another parable. But he's speaking very directly. But they have no way of knowing this. Because their eyes are closed. They're sleeping. We can be like that sometimes before the time comes when God reveals things to us. Verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I do for you? They said unto him, Grant to us that we may sit on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority on them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. James and John. The Gospels usually contain this account of where they came, or alternately, they had their mother come. Both could be true. They might have asked once and then said, Mom, would you ask again? Because they didn't want to ask a second time. Or maybe they thought, maybe this time if we ask ourselves. No matter. We want you to do for us what we ask. You say that everything we ask, we could have. Everything we ask, we could have, right? Right? Whatsoever you ask in my name, whatsoever, anything, ask. As James says, you ask amiss in the book of James. And they want to sit on his right hand and his left. He says, can you be baptized with my baptism? And drink the cup. What does that mean? The cup represents the inward suffering. The baptism, the outward suffering. Will you suffer the things I suffer? Will you feel what I feel? And he says, we can. And he says, you will. But to sit on my right and my left, I can't give you that. Some things you can ask. God doesn't have to give you. Because he's not our servant and our slave to do as we please. But rather, the things are given to whom it is prepared for. To sit on his right hand and on his left. But they thought it good to ask. And you know what? The Apostle Paul says, covet greater gifts. I pray. You know, I want to be a prophet of God. I want to be a prophet. God, make me a prophet. And we ask, now maybe it isn't given for me to be a prophet, but it's no harm in asking. It's wrong to be presumptive, to take on things that God has not given us. But he's not harsh with them, but he teaches them a lesson. You got to understand things, he says. You know, in the Gentiles, those that are accounted the rulers, you know, those who they exercise lordship over them. They are like, lords, we are the rulers. We sit on the right hand and the left hand of Christ. That means all the rest of you are under us. And Jesus said, and this is another interpretation of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Remember, the least in the kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ. He's the least in the kingdom of heaven, greater than the greatest man on earth. Because the least is the greatest. And the first is the last, and the last is the first. And therefore, if we want to be great, we have to become servants. That's why, you know, they talk about Christian minister, though it's lost its meaning. There's still some sort of sense of service. But they're really hirelings, as Jesus called them. They're hirelings. The hireling fleeth when he sees the wolf coming, because he's a hireling. He does it because it's his job. A true servant, I am served at the behest of my master. My master pays me to watch over what is his. He does not pay me to feed myself of what is his, meaning to bleed the sheep. Church, so often it seems like the minister, the one who's being served, his interests are being served. I've been in some churches where the pastor was the wealthiest man in the church. How'd that come to be? You know, they have churches with maybe 30, 40 people, and they're making six-figure salaries. How'd that come to be? And Jesus says, whoever wants to be great among you, become a servant, a real servant. A real servant does service without regard to recognition, without regard to the way men... I don't need men to appoint me their leader to be a servant. You can serve people without being appointed by other men. Men appoint men as authorities, as to exercise lordship. And I tell you what, most ministers, they're called ministers, but they exercise lordship over the flock. And that, or they do not exercise the proper... There is authority in which we ought to teach.